Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about a book that really hit home for me, Unrequited by Lisa A. Phillips. Sophie, you've been through this, right?
Oh, absolutely, Sam. And I think almost everyone has, whether they admit it or not. Phillips makes that point right from the start. We treat unrequited love like it's this embarrassing, pathetic thing, but it's actually a universal human experience.
Yeah, and she pushes back hard on that shame. In our culture, real love is supposed to be mutual. If it's not, we assume something's wrong with the person who's loving without getting it back.
Right. And she says that's just not true. It's not a sign of weakness or low self-esteem. It's a testament to our capacity for deep feeling.
But why does it hurt so much? I mean, I remember feeling physically sick over someone who didn't even know I existed.
Well, Phillips gets into the neuroscience. When we fall in love, even one-sided, our brains release dopamine, oxytocin, and norepinephrine. That cocktail creates euphoria and obsession.
So, it's literally a chemical addiction. And the occasional kindness from the beloved is like a slot machine payout. It keeps you pulling the lever.
Exactly. And that's why you can't just talk yourself out of it. The brain doesn't distinguish between returned and unreturned love in that initial rush.
Okay, so now I need to know, why do we fall for people who can't love us back? Is there a pattern there?
Oh, there are several. Phillips talks about how some of us are drawn to emotionally unavailable people because they mirror our caregivers. It feels familiar, so we mistake anxiety for excitement.
That's deep. And what about idealization? I know I did that. I built this whole fantasy version of this person in my head.
Yeah, she says that's a big one. We project all these qualities onto them that we desperately want, without seeing who they really are. And sometimes, we're actually afraid of real intimacy. A fantasy relationship feels safer than a real one.
Because a real relationship means vulnerability and compromise. And the fantasy is perfectly tailored to our desires.
Right. And that's the trap. No real person can compete with a fantasy. So the longer you stay in unrequited love, the more invested you become in that imagined connection.
So how do you break the spell? Phillips must have some advice on that.
She says to actively challenge the fantasy. Look for evidence that contradicts your idealized image. What are their actual behaviors and values? How do they treat other people?
And that's hard, because you don't want to see it. But it's necessary.
It is. And then comes the healing part. She's honest that it's a real grief. The future you imagined is dead, and you have to mourn it.
Yeah. She doesn't offer quick fixes. She says you have to feel the pain, but not wallow. And boundaries are crucial. Distance creates clarity.
Absolutely. Unfollow them on social media. Limit contact. And she even addresses whether to confess your feelings. That's a tough one.
What does she say? I always thought you had to tell them to get closure.
She says it depends on your motivation. If you're confessing to be honest and move on, it can be liberating. But if you're secretly hoping to change their mind, you're setting yourself up for more pain.
And sometimes the bravest thing is to keep it to yourself and work through it on your own.
Exactly. She talks about reclaiming your agency. You always have choices. You can redirect your energy toward yourself, toward other relationships, toward things that bring you joy.
So, it's not about finding a replacement. It's about rediscovering your own wholeness.
And that's empowering. But what about staying friends? That's a question so many people face.
Yeah. Can you really go back to being friends after that?
Phillips is realistic. She says a period of no contact is usually necessary first. And even then, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. If you're still analyzing every interaction, you're not ready.
And that's okay. You can step back without guilt.
Right. And throughout all of this, she emphasizes self-compassion. We're so hard on ourselves for feeling this way, but love is never something to be ashamed of.
Even when it's not returned, the capacity to love deeply is a gift, not a flaw.
And she puts it in perspective. Unrequited love has been romanticized for centuries. Dante had Beatrice. Shakespeare had his sonnets. it was seen as noble, as evidence of a refined soul.
We've lost that. Now we just see it as something to get over.
She says there's value in that older view. Loving without expectation teaches us about devotion and about the limits of our control.
Okay, so for someone in the throes of it right now, what's the roadmap? She has 5 steps, right?
Yeah. Step 1 is acceptance. Accept that it's not returned and that you can't force it. Step 2 is creating distance. Give yourself space.
Then self-inquiry. What does this reveal about your patterns and your needs? And then reinvestment. Put that energy back into your own life.
And finally, patience. Healing takes time. Don't beat yourself up if you still feel the ache months later.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is that unrequited love isn't a dead end. It's a doorway to understanding yourself better and to growing emotionally.
And that's the hopeful note the book ends on. You can survive profound disappointment and still remain open to love. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, plus infographics on many of them. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So, in the end, unrequited love teaches us that we can love ourselves enough to walk away and that we're whole and worthy no matter what. We'll see you in the next one.